Welcome, everybody, to another great podcast from the Crystal River Church of God. Whether you're on your way to work, on your lunch break, or even taking a jog, our prayer for you is that this helps you to find focus for living. We truly hope you enjoy this message live from CRCOG.
It's wonderful to be in a place where you can feel the presence of the Lord. And I don't know that I've ever been here that that's not been the case. I just felt like the Lord spoke to me a while ago, and I know you love your pastor. You've got an awesome pastor. Brother Ronnie and Sister Sherry has done so much for our county. And man, we just love them. We just love them. Would you just take for a moment and just kind of reach your hands out this way, and let's just pray over our pastor. Father, as we come before you right now, oh, we just sense your presence in the house tonight. Hallelujah. Lord, we just speak strength and peace and love to Brother Ronnie and Sister Sherry tonight. Your servants, strengthen them and undergird them and bless them, Lord, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Before we get into the word, I'd like to just ask you to whisper a prayer for my wife also. She's struggled all day with a headache. She has migraines from time to time, but she wanted to be here tonight, and I appreciate her being here with me tonight. She's the spiritual one of the house. We was sitting on the couch the other night, and she reached over and patted me on the stomach, and she's like, "Hun, I love your abs." I told her, I said, "You know, that would be much more believable if you'd quit laughing." And then I realized the next day we're driving down the road, and I realized how much faith she had. She was speaking those things that are not as though they are. So she's the spiritual one. Well, if you have your Bible or your tablet or however you go into the Word, maybe they can get it up on the screen. I'd like to go to a very familiar scripture tonight in the book of Luke, we'll start at chapter 14, verse 35. And I'd like to spend just the next few minutes, we'll try to make it quick, but I really feel like the Lord wants to minister to us tonight. I'm stirred by what the Holy Spirit is doing in our land. And I'm also disturbed that I see so much of the church asleep. We need to hear from God. Amen? Luke chapter 14, verse 35. And I want to go right to the latter part of that last verse, because I feel like that if you read the word correctly, that that should have went with chapter 15. Jesus said this, he said, "He that has an ear to hear, let him hear." Church, are we willing to hear God tonight? He said, "He that has an ear, let him hear." And the next scripture, verse 1, chapter 15, says, "Then he drew near unto him all the publicans and the sinners." And I'd like to draw your attention to the reason that they drew near. They drew near to obey the Lord. The Bible says to hear what Jesus had to say. Amen. They wanted to hear him. Verse 2, "And the Pharisees and the scribes murmured, saying, This man receives sinners and eateth with them." Can we just pray? Father, we come before you right now tonight We thank you for your word. We're humbled, Lord, to be in the house tonight to deliver your word. We ask you to give us eyes to see you tonight, Lord. Give us ears to hear you. Give us a heart to understand you. We want to know you, God, like we've never known you before. And we thank you for your word. And all the church said, amen. For the next few minutes, I'd like for us, if we would, to just kind of follow what Jesus is doing. His audience was Pharisees and scribes that were murmuring. They didn't want to hear what Jesus had to say. They just wanted to murmur. There was also publicans and sinners there. And Jesus starts in verse 11, and he starts telling a story, and we all know the story, but I want to look at it a little bit differently tonight, and we'll try to move quickly. But I want us to understand the reason that Jesus told the story. Those that were supposed to represent God, those that were supposed to know God and tell people how to know God, Jesus made up a story to help them understand, in effect, you don't know God. You say you do, but in reality, you don't know God. And so he starts making up this story, and I want to read it here. You guys know it very well. And he said, there was a certain man that had two sons. And the younger of them said to the father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided them unto him. Now, I want us to understand this, you have to go back to where Jesus was in that culture to understand what Jesus was saying. So if we can just travel back tonight in that Middle Eastern culture that's all about honor, it's shunning shame, and it's all about honor. Jesus starts to draw this picture to the Pharisees. And he said, there was a man that had two sons, and his younger son came. And in essence, he said, Dad, I can't wait for you to die. Give me that falleth to me. That's what he said. I can't wait for you to die. Would you give me that belongs to me? Now, you've got to understand that God will never go against your will. You have the power. God will never encroach on your will. And so the Bible bears that out. He said, and what? The Father give it to him. Now, you've got to understand that the Pharisees was about to lose their mind, because in their culture, this was a shame, and the father should have just reached out and waylaid the son. He should have just laid him out, because this was such a dishonor to the father. Verse 13, and not many days after, the younger son gathered together and took his journey into a far country, and he wasted all of his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And we know, I don't have to preach on this, we know when we get away from God, when we get out in the world, the world's going to love you until you don't have anything else to give them. And when you run out of that to give them, they're going to leave you in the gutter, broke, busted, and disgusted. That's the way the world works. So this is, the boy spent all that he had. And the Bible said, and when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the field to feed swine. Now again, I just want to remind you, in this culture, for a Jewish boy to leave the area, number one, was a shame. But the very worst thing he could have done is get involved with swine, get involved with pigs. But you have to understand again, Jesus is drawing a picture of the very worst case scenario sinner, if you will. What he's doing is trying to draw a picture of the worst sinners so that he can relate how God deals with the worst of sinners. So now here's The Pharisees are about to lose their mind. And he says, and he would have fainted, but he filled his belly with a husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave him to eat. I want to tell you, that's about as low can get. Come on, somebody. I mean, a Jewish boy in a hog pen leaving the father's house, he's lost everything, and now he's feeding the swine and eating the same food with the swine, smelling like the pigs. That's just about as low as a man can go. And then the Bible says in verse 17, and when he came to himself, oh, hallelujah, it looks like things might be turning around. The Bible says, and he came to himself and he said, how many hired servants are in my father's house, and I have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger. Let me just tell you, sometimes we need to talk to ourselves, church. Sometimes we get in a place, we've messed up, we've gone down the wrong road, and we just need to stop what we're doing and begin to talk to self. And they say, self, wait a minute. I know in my father's house I was better off. I done things my way. Maybe I need to change what I'm doing a little bit. He began to talk to himself. He said, I will arise and go to my father's house. Now, you've got to understand, in this scenario, the boy would know that when he went back to the father's house, he had to pass through town to get to the father's house. And when he got to town, he would have had to stay in the town and be ridiculed for days and laughed at by the kids and probably scorned by the town folk before he could even get an audience with the father. And if the father would hear from him, he would probably come and give him a public lashing, because that's what the culture said he needed to do. But I want us to look at the story, because the Bible says that the man decided that I'm going to go to my father's house anyway. I'll take the punishment. I'll say, Father, look here. I'm not worthy anymore to be your son, but if you'll just let me be a servant in your house, amen, just let me come back home and be a servant in your house. And now I want us to see, because Jesus gets worse. He's drawn the worst case scenario, the sinner of all sinners, if you will. A man that could do about as bad as a man. His brother said he spent all of his money on riotous living, on harlots and the party life. He had been just about as bad as a boy could be, but now he came to himself. I need to go back to the father's house. I want us to look here at verse 20, because the scene changes now. Again, remember, Jesus is making up the story. And he said he arose and he came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, he said his father saw him and had compassion on him, and he ran. Now, there's a problem with this text here, because in that culture, the patriarchs, the men in the family, did not run. It was a shame for them to run. And as a matter of fact, they would have a garment on, a robe on, that would prohibit them from running. But the Bible said the father was looking and he seen the son. I want us to see this picture here if we can tonight, because the son had reached the edge of the town, hadn't come through the town yet, and the father looks out and sees him, and the father begins to run. Now he had to pull his skirt up, tuck it in his belt. He's showing his legs, which are a shame, and he's running down where this sinful, hog-smelling son is, and the Bible says he runs through town so the boy don't have to come into town and take the shame that was due him. Can I tell you tonight, your father is after you, and he'll take the shame if you want to come back home. Now the Bible says this, when he got to him, the Bible says he ran. The father ran, and he fell on his neck. And he kissed him. If you look at the real translation, it says the father fell on his neck and he kissed him. 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 Have you ever just needed a kiss from God? Hallelujah. Have you ever just needed to feel God just kind of kiss you on the forehead?
Yeah, come on now.
Oh, hallelujah. I'm telling you, the scribes was losing their mind. The scribes couldn't understand it. And he said this, the son went on, and he said, and the son said unto him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and in thy sight, I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. But the Father, look at here, the Bible said he got the best robe and he put the robe on him. He got the ring and he put it on his finger. He got the sandals and he put it on his feet. Let me tell you, God reached out and brought this young man home and gave him full honor. But listen to this. When God got to him, when the Father got to him, this boy still smelled like a pig. Can you imagine that? He still smelt like a pig. Brother Shivers, why are you sharing this with me? Number one, because it blows the mind of a legalist when we understand the love of God. Right. It messes up the religious folk when you really begin to understand the love of God. There's something that I've observed as a pastor for many years. Just about everywhere I go, we understand God and we understand that God is love and we know all about that stuff as long as it's generic. But where we get in trouble is when we make it personal. You see, I know that God can love my wife because she's the nicest person I ever met. I don't have any trouble with it. I know God loves Brother Ronnie because he's such an anointed preacher and such a man of God. I don't have any trouble with that. And Sister Susie, I don't have any trouble with God. But when I understand and I try to understand how God could love me, then that's where I began to break down. That's where I began to have a problem. Because Brother Justin, you understand, I know me. I know that I still have some areas inside that kind of are a little smelly, amen, from the hog pen. Are you hearing me, church? So one of the things that we need in the body of Christ is to understand that, brother, it doesn't matter where you come from. Jesus is saying you can go to the lowest of the low. You can be the sinner of all sinners. And if you repent and come back home, Jesus will come and he'll kiss you and kiss you and kiss you and put that robe of righteousness and honor on you. Listen, church, he that has an ear, let him hear. I think J. Vernon McGee said it right one time. He said, if you knew me the way I know me, you wouldn't let me be your preacher.
Come on, that's true.
And if I knew you the way you know you, I wouldn't let you be my member.
Right.
Hello. But what Jesus is saying, and he was saying it for the benefit of the publicans and the sinner, he's trying to tell them, look here, the Pharisees may not minister to you, but I want you to know the Father's heart, he loves you with a love like no other. I want you to remember a Hebrew word. I'm going to make you think I'm smart tonight. I'll give you a Hebrew word. Katan. Now, I probably even said it wrong. K-H-A-T-A-N. Come on, somebody said it. Katan. This is the kind of love that God has for you and I. That word means like a bridegroom that's fixing to take his bride and he attaches himself to her. In other words, when he joins her in marriage, he takes her and they become one flesh. And in this Hebrew word, that's what it says God is. He's the katan. He's the one that comes to you even in your mess. And he takes you to himself and he joins himself to you, mess and all. I want to tell you, we're serving a good God. We're serving a loving God. And I don't know what's going on in your life, but I want to tell you this tonight. God sent me here to tell you that he loves you. Not talking about the person next to you, but he loves you tonight, no matter what you've been through. He loves you. He loves you. So point number one, and we need to hear this tonight. We need to know the power of the love of God. Would you turn to your neighbor and say, you need to know the love, the power of the love of God. Do we understand how important it is to know that God loves us? I grew up in a Pentecostal background, and it was all about the things you did and the things you didn't do. Hello, somebody. Never heard too much about how much God loves me. As a matter of fact, I got saved one time. It was about for the 411th time. And I knew me. I knew when I got back to school, I was going to get in a fight with somebody. But I really had a heart. I wanted to serve God. And I remember going to the altar that night, and I tell you, I got up, and I knew God had kissed me and kissed me and kissed me and kissed me. Listen to me. I walked outside of the doors of the church that night and standing on the vestibule as a young teenager. And Brother Ronnie, I looked up to heaven and I said, God, will you kill me tonight? Because I know I can't live what these people's going to tell me to live. Hello. I've got some stinky places in my life and I haven't got over it yet. So God, if you'll just go ahead and take me home, I'll know that I can get to heaven. Can I tell you what? That's a sad place to be. So it took me years and years and years and years to understand that, look, I don't have to be perfect. God loves me anyway. Oh, yeah, I love Him and I try. But listen to me. You need to understand no matter where you're at in your walk with God, He loves you. He loves you. He loves you. So we need to understand the love of God. Let's go to my second point. Would you say, thank God He's only got 2 points tonight? Number one, we need to know the love of God. And number two, we need to know the power of His forgiveness. Let's look at Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18. If we can get it up on the screen. He says, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Oh, I like that. If you've been raised, and I know you haven't, if you've been here any length of time, but if you was raised like this is music to my ears, God's saying, come on, let's talk about it. Come on, let's discuss this. You've been taught some things, and we need to talk about forgiveness. He said, let us reason together, saith the Lord. He said, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson. Come on, church. He said, they shall be as wool. Amen. Well, that's a hard one to get. If you're a legalist, that's a hard one to get my mind wrapped around. How can you take a scarlet cord and undye that scarlet cord and make it white? That's impossible. But with God, it's not impossible. You go to the marriage of the Canaan, where Jesus turned the water into wine, and I don't want to get into doctrine tonight, but somebody said, no, He turned it into grape juice. Well, my Bible said it was wine. I'm sorry. I can't help it. But you got to understand, for wine to be wine, it's got to have a past. It's got to age. So God reached in time, and He gave the wine a pass so He could make the water wine. Brother Shivers, what are you saying? I'm trying to say, if God can make something that doesn't have a past, then God can take something that has a past and He can remove the past. Somebody, come on, church. If God can give something a past, then He can take the past away from somebody. What are you saying to me, Brother Shivers? I'm trying to say it doesn't matter where you came from. It doesn't matter where you've been. It doesn't matter what you've done. I want to tell you this. If you've come to God in repentance and you've accepted Him as the Lord Jesus Christ, that old past is gone. Are you hearing me, church? We need to get a hold of this, you see, because we know that God saved us and God forgave us in our name, but He's called us into ministry. He's called us to work. Everyone in the building tonight, if you're born again, you're a minister of Jesus Christ. But let me tell you, so many cannot minister because you're still carrying around that old dead past. But I want to tell you, it's dead. It's not alive. Bury it and let it go.
The rapture's coming soon. The church can't afford... Listen, we can't use that as an excuse anymore. We use our past as an excuse not to do anything for God. Well, I'm not worthy. Will you get over it? We need to be about the Father's business. Let me just give you another scripture or two and we'll close. Philippians chapter 13 or chapter 3. I don't think there's a 13 there. Philippians chapter 3 verse 12. We want to start here. Paul said this. He says, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect. I love that. Oh, I can relate to that. Come on, you need to punch someone in the side and say, I know what he's talking about. Not as though I had already attained, either was already perfect, but I follow after, if that I might apprehend that which also I was apprehended of Christ. Let's go on. Listen to this now, brethren. I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. Come on, come on, church, read it with me now. Forgetting those things that are behind. Come on. And I reach forth unto those things which are before. Come on, that I might press towards the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Paul said this, he said, I'm not perfect. Look where Paul came from. Listen to me, he would walk past Starbucks and he would hear them whispering, look at there goes that murderer. Right. He would go past Walmart and people would be laughing and say, isn't that Paul, the one that used to persecute the church? But Paul said, look at here, I don't have time for that business anymore. I've got to press towards the mark of the high calling of God. I've got to move forward for God. I've got to do something for God. And I can't do it if I keep carrying my past with me. We need to be delivered tonight. And I want to tell you something. Deliverance isn't going to come. Deliverance from your past isn't. Listen, God's already delivered you from your past. It's just in your mind. You're the one that keeps dragging it up. It's not God. I'll share a quick story with you and then we'll get ready to pray. Christmas Eve, I drove down south to see a very precious friend of mine. She had had stage 4 cancer for about 2 years. The Lord had let me know that the time was very soon. He said, if you're going to see her, you need to go. So Priscilla and I got in the car and we drove down. Her husband's a very dear friend of mine. As a matter of fact, he was my pastor when I was 20 years old. It was his first church. He done very well. He was there about a year, year and a half. But they moved him to a very large church in a different area. And this pastor messed up. Come on, somebody. He messed up. He went to the pig pen. It cost him his church. It almost cost him his marriage. It took him about 5 years to get his life back in order, and him and his wife, they managed to move on. In a few years, they started pastoring again. But in that, his pastorate never really took off. I mean, he could maintain, he done all right, but it never would take off. But I'm sitting there and I'm talking to him, and now listen, this is years and years and years later. He's 70-something years old now. As a matter of fact, his wife did pass. I'd done her funeral a couple of weeks later. But I remember sitting there. And Brother Ronnie, he was very cynical. Very critical. And then it came out. He said these words. He said, look, I've done some things that I'm not proud of. And I want to tell you, Brother Justin, God stirred my heart. I mean, inside my heart just broke. Because here's someone that God just really, really needed to use. God just really, really wanted to use. And God had forgiven him. He had come out of the pig pen. And God had kissed him. And God had put the robe on. And God had done all of those things. But listen, he wouldn't let go of the past. And all of these years later, he was still. And it made him cynical and a little hard to get along with and a little bitter. Listen to me, church. Don't let that happen to you. The price is too high. Bury that old man and get on with what God is calling you to do. Listen, God wants us to understand, no matter where you've been, that he loves you. We need to understand the power of God's love. And number two, we need to understand the power of God's forgiveness. We're our own worst enemy. The accuser will come up and he'll whisper in our ear. And we just take it hook, line, and sinker. And we carry it around and around and around and around. Jesus walked to the pool of Bethesda. The Bible said there was five porches there. It was just full of sick and impotent folk, waiting for the water to be troubled, so that whoever stepped in, the first one, would be healed. Jesus asked a very interesting question. He said this. He said, "Will you be made whole?" You see, what I find so interesting about that question is, it was all up to the man. Jesus is standing there. And listen, this was his answer. He said, "I have no man." Can I just make a simple statement? You don't need a man. You see, we're looking for some super spiritual, some hero to lay hands on us and make everything all right. And the Father's already made it all right. You just need to accept it. My question to you is, will you be made whole? Brother Shivers, what are you trying to say? I'm just trying to say this. The next time the devil comes and tries to bring up your past, would you just tell him it's dead and I'm not going to take it? I don't have a past anymore. Come on. I don't have a past anymore. God took it. It's gone. Hallelujah. I don't have a past anymore. Hallelujah. God laid this on my heart heavy. You see, because I believe that there's some mighty warriors of God, and we're in the last of the last days, church. All of hell is raging outside of these walls. We don't have time to be digging up old dead bones. Would you stand with me? Hallelujah. 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 He that has an ear, let him hear. Let him hear. Will we hear tonight that God loves you? Listen, would you just close your eyes? I don't want to talk to the one all around you. I want to talk to you. Would you hear God say tonight, "Listen, the sweetest times of my life is when I'm going through the day, and Brother Justin, I hear the voice of God say, 'Bruce, I love you.'" Listen, there's nothing better than to hear Jesus say, call you by name and say, "I love you." Can you hear it tonight with your eyes closed? Can you hear him tonight? He's calling your name and he's saying, "I love you. I love you." And he's saying to you, "Son, daughter, I don't ever want you to bring up that past again, because I don't know anything about it. I don't know anything about it." Don't ever bring it up again because I don't know what you're talking about. It's gone. It's gone. It's gone. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm not even going to ask you to come up here and pray. I'm not going to ask for someone to lay hands on you because I believe this is between you and God. But while you're standing there tonight, will you let God kiss you? Will you let God kiss you? Will you let God love on you? Hallelujah. 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 Would you commit in your heart, I'll never drag up those bones again. I'll never bring it up again. I'm going to get on with what God's called me to do. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Would you give the Lord a praise tonight? Would you give the Lord a thanks tonight? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus, we love you. We love you, Lord, and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you again for listening to this message. We pray that it has inspired you like never before. For more information about Crystal River Church of God, how to give, or even our upcoming events, be sure to check us out at crystalrivercog.com. You can also follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Be sure to like and subscribe to this podcast, and we will see you next week here at CRCOG.